Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Artist still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
It is Radio B.I.B. Baseball isn't boring. And we're here live at JetBlue Park, and we have to start every single program, every single baseball conversation by the fact, by the proof that we are excited about the great game of baseball. And you only do that one way, Ken Laird. How do you do that? Well, I'll just do it for Ken Laird. McFarland! How about you, Joe Braverman? What's going on?
McFarland.
All right. All right, McFarland Energy, the heating and cooling bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Yes, that's why we yell McFarland. Are we good to go, Ken?
McFarland!
Oh, there you go. You never looked better. You never sounded better. You feel good. Ken Laird, brand manager of WEEI. What a treat this is. And also, perfect timing, Ken, because you basically got your current job by watching what we're about to watch here at JetBlue Park, which is the youngsters, the minor leaguers. You used to do the farm report for WEEI, correct?
Indeed.
It was you were the first person ever to interview Andrew Benintendi, I believe.
That's correct.
And I mean, when you walked in here, all these people stopped, they looked, and it said, "The Godfather's back. Let's go."
Yeah, I'm not sure I saw that, or heard that coming in. But yeah, it is cool to be down here. I love this prospects game. We were just talking before with Hart and Curtis about, unfortunately, the prospects are kind of all you have to watch in some aspects of this team this year. Not entirely, but it's definitely a young core. And Roman Anthony, has come. He is.
Look at you.
Well,
have you seen him in person yet?
I have not. I saw Teal take BP, and he looked good.
Oh, this is like the old Jerry take on. Goes out to the backfield.
Yeah, Lou at the cage.
Ball's coming off his back good. I like the cut of his jib.
But, don't you think you'll be looking at these guys in the minors as closely as you will Duran and Costas?
This is what we're about to see here, and you can listen to it, obviously, on the home of the Red Sox. Will Fleming's gone on the call with myself. I don't know if you know this, Ken. I predicted another home run last night.
I heard it. I saw it on social, and I appreciate it.
Anything I can do for the company.
Barrelman.
Barrelman. And so, but we're about to broadcast this breakout game, which I think is a good idea. I think it's a good sort of springboard into the season. The players are excited about it. And really, what we're about to watch is, as Ken just said, these guys are the guys that I think if you did a poll of fans, Red Sox fans, they would rather see this than probably what they're going to see tomorrow. I mean, and I'm not saying this group of players could beat the current Red Sox, but that's not what we're talking about. And I think that even more than the years that you did the farm report, otherwise known as the glory years of this, but even more than those years, Ken, the interest in minor league baseball, the interest on what might be, is more prevalent not only with the Red Sox fandom, but I think across baseball. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen guys come up in, a year or two. Like, Baltimore has all these kids. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, I don't know how long he took, but Jackson
Holiday,
the Brewers guy, Churio, is going to come up. He's been in the minors like a year, right?
Well, so, and they're getting, by the way, they're getting these contracts before they play a major league game. Churio did. Kid from Detroit did. So, yeah. I mean,
and that's probably what Cassis wants, right?
But he has, I don't know if you know this, he has played in a major league game.
I know he has. And I was calling him a prospect, you know, on the last show, too. I guess he's not anymore, but I consider him, you know, part of the next wave.
But the weird thing is Sadan Rafael is playing in this game. Do you think he's a prospect?
You tell me. Is he going to make them big league opening day
roster? I think
he's
going to be the starting center fielder on opening day.
So how does that work? How do they shuffle the
– Well, our good friend Brian Abraham, he makes the roster.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. There's pressure on one person today is Brian Abraham. Did he make the right roster, farm director for the Red Sox? But one of the things is when you look at these guys – so I'll just ask you this, Ken. Mm-hmm. You know these guys better than anyone because you're – again, we've already documented that you are the godfather of minor league reporting. What player are you – give me your top three players. And I guess maybe this is an obvious answer, but maybe it's not. Give me some guys that you want to see play today.
Well, it's the big three. It's Marcelo Meyer, it's Kyle Teal, it's Roman Anthony. Those are the big three that I'm really watching. But by the way, going back to the farm report days when we were tracking Yoán Moncada's every move and Michael Kopech.
Were you still
guys.
The farm report guy Moncada was there?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Still, and you, I remember you had Kopech on the night show all the time. Those guys, most of them didn't turn out to be, I mean, they're everyday players. They're still in the game. They're not like, they're not horrible, but hype compared with the reality.
Oh, no. But this is another conversation that we can morph into the major league team because Dave Dombrowski, for all the heat that he gets, oh, he gutted the farm system. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you know, you have nothing in the minor leagues. Well, the guys, maybe, but the guys they traded, he picked the right guys.
Yeah, he did.
That Chris Sale trade, Moncada, nobody's saying heading into this year, Yoán Moncada is going to be a breakout star. All they're saying is, can he stay healthy and just be serviceable? Can he be a good player for the White Sox? And then Kopech, I like Kopech a lot. He's been through a lot in his life, but he's landed back in the bullpen for the White Sox. He gets taken out of the rotation. So you go through the list of guys that they gave up. And really, the bad part about it was their inability to lock the right guys up early in the process. And this goes to the Bayo stuff, right? Where was Mookie must have been part of your farm report.
He was already sort of accelerated in the system a bit. Yeah.
All right. But that is the key to be able to lock those guys up early, because once you get going, and that's what I fear for Cassis. I think Cass is a guy who feels good about himself, who's a little off kilter, who, you know, is reeks to me of a guy who's going to bet on himself unless you overwhelm him with an offer. This isn't Brian Bayo.
Yeah.
And if you miss that boat and he ends up being the player a lot of people think he's going to be, then it's going to get A, uncomfortable when it comes to paying him, which they had to do with Devers. They got painted in the corner with Devers. You got Bogarts, but you had to give him a deal with all these opt-outs. And I don't know if you know this. He opted out, and he does not play for the Red Sox anymore. With Betts, they tried multiple times. But as he said, look, the first one was the hardest one to turn down. Well, if that's the case, then you missed the boat. Because if that was the hardest one to turn down, then you should have made it even better.
Yeah. Well, no, and it's a lot of pressure on the new regime, if that's their plan, they're not full throttle. They're the opposite. They're build the core, keep in-house guys.
Well, haven't we documented that by now?
Yeah, but I mean, now they got to sign Cassis. You can't let him go the way Bogarts and Betts went, right? You got to get that deal done.
Well, and the other part about this, and this sort of morphs also with what's going on today, is that yeah, you got to do that. You have to do these extensions. You have to have the foundation. You did it with Bayo. And a lot of people will say, good for you, Brian Bayo. Good for you, Boston Red Sox. But Brian Bayo, let's not get this twisted, Ken. Brian Bayo is not Pedro Martinez. He's a ground ball pitcher. He's a good pitcher. He's a guy that you want around for a long time. Great. So, you get him. Cassis is the obvious one. But after that, the guys that are out here, like, if there was guys out here who you would say, hey, we want to get an extension, like Churio before he got called up.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Holliday, obviously, I would imagine they're desperately trying to lock him up, but that's not going to happen. So, who is the guy, though, of this group, this next wave that we think is going to be the guys that you want to extend? But I cannot, Ken, go up to any of these kids in the backfields or in the cages, or on the streets of Fort Myers, in the Starbucks, at Twin Peaks, if they're allowed in there. I can't go up to any of them and say, hey, have you had any talks, Marcelo? Have you had any talks, Roman? Have you had any talks, Kyle? Have you had any talks? No, you know why? Because that would be ridiculous. They're not at the place where the Red Sox can say, absolutely, they're going to be a good enough that we can commit to them like they did with Corbin Carroll a year ago.
No, they have to be scared. And Meyer alone last year made the jump and hit, like, what, 180?
Yeah,
he had
hurt.
Shoulder
he
issues and stuff.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, maybe he was hurt, or maybe he just struggled and that's an excuse, you know? So, but I agree. You got to, at some point, they're going to have to take a leap of faith to these guys and pick at least, you know, two of them that you're going to count on. And then they're supposed to have young pitchers coming, so where are those? You know,
we keep talking about that. That doesn't even enter the conversation.
Well, that better. It better soon. If that's your plan, you better soon.
They haven't drafted – they barely drafted a pitcher in the first five rounds in the last 5 years.
Right.
But, yeah, so –
But that's Breslow's job, right? That's supposedly why they brought him here.
Believe me, if you had to – if I had to bet on what they're going to draft, I would almost bet the farm they're going to draft in the first round a pitcher this year. But my point is that – a year from now, like right now, Ken, we have Ken Laird, brand manager, and everything else of W, and also Ken and Curtis show. How long were you on that show for today?
About an hour.
Oh, look at you.
Probably my Ricky, sweet spot.
You're hitting BP in the backfield. Yeah. You're doing the lazy river. Oh, man, like management. What a life. But you have these guys, Bayo and Cassis. And right now, as I said, you can't go. I did go up to Tanner Houck, and I did ask him about, like, a contract. He said, yeah, we've had talks. But even Tanner Houck, it's right now, do you say, oh, absolutely, that's a guy you build around.
No,
Garrett Whitlock.
Whitlock, yep.
You signed the extension, but it's clearly a team-friendly extension, and even if it doesn't work out, it's not that big a hit. But a year from now, all of these might be different. Maybe Tanner Houck has this unbelievable year. Maybe Marcelo Meyer emerges. Maybe Kyle Teal all of a sudden is on the cusp of major leagues. Like, a year from now, we are going to find out which guys that they can legitimately have this strategy with and offer extensions. But right now, as we sit here, you can't do that as much as people want you to. Like, you know how Red Sox Twitter is? They're like, oh, you got to extend this guy. You got to lock this guy. Even they can't get their head around that.
Yeah, which is fine, but if they signed Cassis, people would be happy. Now, can I go?
Yes, go ahead.
Back to Sinan. Okay. So you think he makes the team?
Yes, I think he's the opening day center fielder.
Okay, so what happens to Duran?
I think he's playing as well.
So they keep him, both in.
Yeah, the one that...
So
O'Neill
might be trade bait.
No, I don't think so. I mean, no. I think that the one... Because we were talking last night in the broadcast, this roster is, there's so much room for interpretation with it, and really for me, the guy in this last week and a half, Willy Abreu has to figure out. You have to figure out if he can play or not. Mm. And he was good last year, good enough where they said we're going to trade Verdugo. He's a right fielder, but he hasn't been good down here. Mm. And so that's when I know that you and Curtis have been talking a lot about Romy Gonzalez. And so, but that's when I'm like, well, you can send Willy Abreu down, see if he catches fire in AAA because he hasn't looked good here. You can put O'Neill in right. You can put Duran in left. You can put Rafaela in center. And you can go from there. And so I don't know if that's what they're going
to
do.
It's not a good outfield by baseball standards, but it's interesting, right? You would be watching this year and saying
all three of these guys could break out. I like O'Neill. I like the potential. This guy had over 900 OPS 2 years ago. If he can stay healthy, and now he's banged up a little bit with his calf thing, but he's really interesting. Duran, speaking of Jarren Duran, a little bit later, I just was down in the clubhouse. I did a five-minute interview with Jarren Duran, and he was unbelievable in talking about his mental health issues. Hmm. Because remember, this recently on Instagram, he had the thing on his wrist. It said, bleep him, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm asking him about that. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't had a lot of great interviews with Jarren Duran. I think he's been guarded, and now we sort of know why a little bit. But this one was like, hey, I'm just going to be honest with you. I want to talk to you about bleep him, because now they have T-shirts that say the same thing. And he's like, okay. And he got in. He was night and day compared to what we've. So I wanted to do that for this show. You're welcome, Odyssey. WEI. Great everybody job. Out. Baseballs
Looking
and Boring.
To.
We'll put on the Baseballs and Boring feed as well. All right, we gotta get going here. Are you gonna stay here the whole time, or what are you doing?
I'm around if you need me.
Yeah, I do need you. All right, except for the Jaren Duran interview.
I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I think Duran and Casas, just those two alone, are reason enough to get you to watch early to see if they're breakout guys.
There is a path. There is a path to this team being okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's what they're going to put on the
bumper stickers.
Totally agree. There's a path. All right, that's Ken Laird. I'm Rob Bradford. Joe Braverman, he's going to trend right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Baseballs and Boring back live from JetBlue Park getting ready for the breakout game. Everyone's very excited. The players are very excited. I can tell you this. This is what spring training's all about. I walk into a convenience store, get my usual every single morning, and there at the counter, one of the breakout pitchers, one of the breakout game pitchers for the Boston Red Sox, and he's just bursting with excitement. I told him what a great honor it was, not only to see him in the convenience store, but for him to be in this game. That's Christopher Troy. He said he's going to pitch in this game, although I didn't know if he knew that it was only seven innings, so we're going to have to see. I hope he does.
Did you both reach for a bag of sunflower seeds and make it like a love story or something?
I said it was like my grandparents when I went to Child World, where I said they said, here's $5, buy anything you want. It's your big day. So there you go. All right. Well, like I said, this is the Baseballs and Boring show. I want to remind everybody, if my 90-year-old dad can do it, you can do it. Subscribe to the Baseballs and Boring feed. So when you wake up every morning, boom, pops up, you get great, great, great baseball content. Baseballs and Boring podcast. Do that. Subscribe. It's easy. Have your friend show you if you don't know how to do it. I'm showing Ken how to do it right now, Ken Laird. Ken Laird is sitting here alongside me, and he's sticking around for a little bit, in large part because he wants to talk to his good friend Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Ken.
Great.
Thank you for a raise. It's the best in the business. So take care of him.
Okay. Thank you. Good start.
Anyway, so a couple of things. One is I love this game. This idea of the breakout game. I particularly want to, you know, Marcel Mayer is one of those guys that I'm so high in bloom, just, you know, irritates me so much that I'm like, I have a healthy dislike for the guy. That's not fair, so I need to, you know, check him out. But I'm also very interested in hearing your interview with Duran, because 2 years ago I wanted to just, I didn't want to see that guy again in a Red Sox uniform. I was disgusted by him. But everything, you know, and so, you know, last year I thought he really redeemed himself as a player, but I'm really, you know, now it sounds like there's more to the story that I really want to hear, so I'm looking forward to that. But the thing I really wanted to ask you about was I wanted to get your take on Breslow and the pitching, because you've been hearing so much about Breslow, you know, his plan and his focus and that the guys are buying in. And I have to say the pitching has looked, you know, pretty solid. Again, it's spring training. I don't throw a lot of stock in spring training, but you know, what we got to see, I feel like the man has a vision. I feel like he, but something I never felt with Chaim Bloom. I just, Chaim Bloom from the beginning seemed to me to be in over his head. Do you sense from the pitching, do they feel the focus is different? Do you think that, is this for real, this focus?
Yeah, I think that the way that I have phrased it, and this is not good for bumper stickers, this is not good for selling tickets, but it really is sort of like when you have an old car in the garage, you have to start building the foundation before you can take it out of the garage. And a lot of this stuff, whether it's bringing in different coaches, different people, different philosophies, whatever it is, that's what Breslow has done. And that is a very real thing. And I do see it taking root a little bit. We don't know, as you say, Jeff, it's spring training. It's you try hard not to overreact. But there has been signs of guys of having good stuff, guys that, you know, we hadn't heard of before. We wasn't on a radar. Greg Weissert, who was, you know, has this unbelievable slider. He's a guy to keep an eye on. These guys, Isaiah Campbell, who they got for Luis Urias. So there are signs of this, but you just don't know. The one thing I will say, Jeff, and I've heard this from the coaching staff, is that it's velocity. Is that they did not last year. They didn't have velocity, and this is one of the Breslow things, right? They want more velocity. Now, when you're throwing out Cooper Criswell, that's not a good example of that, but overall, there is an emphasis more on getting more velocity, and the kid, the Rule 5 kid, who is going to make the team, I think, yep. Justin Slayton, is one of their hardest throwers, and that's why they go out and get him. So, is this going to lead them to the promised land? Probably not, but at the same time, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do think, right or wrong, this is the way they're approaching it, and this is and as he said, their off-season maneuvering, their off-season signings isn't necessarily predictive of what they're going to do next year or the year after or the year after, but right now it's a lot of under the hood stuff. Does that make sense?
At least, I feel like there is a vision. It does, and I think, you know, Ken can tell you earlier on the show earlier today. You know, everybody's talking about, like, what is the Patriots' plan? What are they really doing? Like, at least, you know, I feel like, and again, maybe it's all smoke and mirrors. I don't think so. But at least I feel like I got a plan. Like, I feel like with Breslow, I feel like the man's working. The man's thinking. The man's, you know, doing his job. And you know, that makes me want to pay attention. That makes me want to, and I, you know, I'm excited about today again, seeing the prospects. And I like the idea of Duran and Rafaela and O'Neal as the starting outfield. I think that could be a very, you know, they could go 0-27 and, you know, whatever. But I think, you know, that looks good to me. I'm willing to give them a chance. I think it's a good
chance. See, here we go. So, here we go, Ken. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, if you don't have Jeff in Watertown on board, you've got nowhere to
go.
No, that's, so at least they've convinced
that is
Jeff.
Absolutely not true. Jeff.
Well, that's your core. I mean, you better have Jeff on board with your
plan. Jeff.
I'm not knocking him. That's a good thing.
My point is that Jeff's a realist. But Jeff and I see eye to eye with almost everything.
Okay.
That's how I know he's a very smart individual. So, but Jeff, I always appreciate it.
We're going to give the man a raise.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, give me a raise. Go, give me a raise. How do you do that? How
I'm not even your boss anymore.
I know. But how do you go about giving you a raise?
I'll put in a good word.
Yes. Anyway, so Ken, I do want you to stay here and listen to this, because I love reaction to interviews.
Okay.
This is a sit down I had. It was happened about an hour ago. Well, I knew that I wanted to talk to Jarren Duran about, in case you haven't seen on Instagram, social media, the image of his wristband where it says bleep him, right? Doesn't say bleep him, but the F word. And so you have that. And then yesterday I noticed not only was he wearing one of these T-shirts that said that, but multiple guys were wearing it. And at first I'm like, you know, this is, don't give me the, like, us against the world. But that's not what this is. This is in support of Duran's mental health and his message. Anyway, I wanted to ask him about that. That was on my to-do list today. Fortunately, I got this chance to do that. So that's what I want to play this for you right now, Jarren Duran.
It's you know, the statement is a powerful one. And just, you can take me sort of behind the behind of why you want to get that out there, things like that.
I mean, I didn't really want to get it out there. I mean, like last year, I did it last year, but nobody really saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So, but I mean, it's just kind of like a personal thing to just like remind me like of the stuff I've gone through mentally, and just saying, fuck them, like they can't win. I'm still here. So I write that on my left wrist. Them, and then I write still alive, because I went through some tough times where I didn't think that I was gonna be here, but you know, I'm still here, still fighting. So that's kind of like just a daily reminder to myself, like if all things are going bad or whatever and I'm having a bad game, like it'll never be as bad as when I was going through that stuff.
When you did it last year, do you remember when you decided to do it, like that, when it's like this is what I want to say, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I want to say? Do you remember that moment last year?
I mean, I did it as soon as we got out of spring. I mean, I already planned on doing it because, like, that's why I wear that certain type of tape because you can write on it. Mm-hmm. But I did it from the beginning of season.
Okay.
Just nobody really recognized. Sometimes I wrote it higher on my wrist so it wouldn't stick down as much when I put on my gloves. But I guess they got me when I wrote it down on the lower. But, you know, I have no problem with it, you know. Like, I know that a lot of people have reached out to me through Instagram, like, saying, like, how it's, like, an inspiration to them. So, like, if they're reading this or hearing this, like, they're more than welcome to reach out to me because I know what they're going through and I support them.
How about, that's another part of this, right, is that you can look at it and be – have that message in your own reminder, but the ultimate or one of the ultimate reminders is of people reaching out, the people support. I mean, I see, you know, people wearing the t-shirts now, which is nobody, everyone loves t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know, that's like, because you never know, right? You never know, like, you put yourself out there like that, you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the negative people out there, but the positives I've gotten from fans and teammates that I've talked to about it is greater than that. So, you know, you just got to focus on the positives and take it one day at a time.
I know it's always a constant battle, but how much, I don't want to say better do you feel, but more equipped to handle, like you talked about the stuff that you went through. Do you feel more equipped to handle this stuff now?
Yeah, I think that I've learned, like, myself and, like, what's helped me, you know, just going through it by myself, kind of, like, learned, like, I write stuff down now, like, I write down, like, a daily note of, like, what I'm looking forward to, and then when my day's over, I write down what I'm looking forward the next day, because it, like, that's when it used to hit me, was, like, after when everything was done, I'm, like, I'm just, like, alone, and if, especially if you have, like, a bad game, and it's, like, all right, well, now I'm alone and had a bad game, but, like, I write down, like, oh, I can't wait to go into the cage tomorrow and work on this. So it's like, it changes my mindset, like, oh, I can't wait to go tomorrow, you know what I mean? Like, so you're not thinking of all these other things. It, like, changes my mind to think, oh, like, I can't wait to go into the field tomorrow and work on my swing and stuff like that. So, like, it gets me happy and, like, gives me a plan. So it's like, my mind's not wandering. It's like, I have a plan, just something to think about.
It's a great idea. Like, who did you think of that yourself, or was that?
Yeah, I just thought about it myself. Like, just learning how I am as a person, like, journaling. And then, like, I started to do that, and I was like, oh, like, this really helps me personally. So just kind of something I developed for myself.
So as we sit here, you had a great game yesterday, right? So what did you, if you can give me, like, any idea of, like, you, what you write before that game, what you write after that game?
So, like, before that game, I was excited to work on some stuff with Rosie on, like hitting through the ball and not, like, pulling off if there's, like, a changeup or something. And then it came in the game where I hit through a changeup and got a hit to the right side, and I instantly went into Rosie. I was like, oh, like, we worked on that this morning, like, and then, like, last night I wrote, like, oh, okay, like, I can't wait to go tomorrow and, like, hit off the traject, because the traject always carves me up. So, like,
oh, really?
Oh, dude, that thing's so hard, because it's just, like, the pitcher's starting there.
Who is the pitcher?
I don't know. They had some lefty from the Orioles on there today, but like, it always carves me, and it's always a challenge. And then, like, Wonger, they do, like, this game where they pull a ball out of a bag, and it's like, oh, you have to do this. It's like, 3-2 count, hit the ball in the air, get an RBI, but the full base is loaded. So we got to play a game like that. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to do that. So, but it's usually just, like, a thing that will pop into my head and be like, oh, okay, like, I can't wait to go do that tomorrow. So.
And this is the last thing. Is, like you said, I mean, as we sit here, it's a great day. Feels like a great day anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's going to be tough days and everything else. It's just, you know, the ability of all these things you're talking about, whether it's what you wrote down, whether it's the journaling, whether it's talking. I would imagine talking to people is another big part of this too, because, you know, that's a big leap of faith. All of it, this, as we sit here, it's going well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if going well, but it's going in a way that, like, you feel more equipped.
Yeah, we're getting better every day, you know. You know, some days it's going to hit harder than others, but, you know, that's just part of the daily battle. So, but, you know, right now I got a good group of people around me. I got a good system I'm doing for myself, and I'm just happy to be here.
All right, there you go. Jarren Duran, as I said, to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't – my experience with Duran, the interviews have been very quick, haven't been very insightful, and this is on me as much as him, and obviously he's been going through a lot of stuff over the last couple of years, ebbs and flows and so forth and so on. But when I wanted to talk to him about that topic, clearly, A, he's has no problem talking about it, and B, he has a lot to say about it, besides just the words on his wristbands or on the T-shirt. Ken Laird, your takeaway.
Yeah, great job, by the way. I really enjoyed that. I think it's a pretty good glimpse into what he's gone through mentally. Obviously, a little window into that over the last couple of years, and for him to say, I'm still alive, you know,
I didn't want to loop back and say, okay, well, when did that, you know.
Right, how close did we get to that not being the case?
Exactly.
And stuff that he's gone through just kind of refers to vaguely, but I love the plan stuff writing down. I might do the traject thing with Curtis, just like, you know,
oh my goodness,
put him up on a, like, before my talk show.
You know what that – so in case people don't know what that is, you know what it
is, I don't exactly know what it
okay,
is,
okay, so it's this $800,000 machine, and it's a video of the pitcher. You can dial up any major league pitcher and dial up what they throw, whatever pitch they're going to throw, and basically you're facing the pitcher. And so – what's interesting about that, as a side note, is that this year is the first year that they're letting hitters use this during the game. And the pitchers are irate about it.
Wow.
Because they're like, why are you letting hitters use this during the game where you don't even let us use TrackMan out in the bullpen to measure our stuff? So it's a whole other conversation, but that's what Jaron Duran was talking about.
Yeah, baseball is not boring there. That's pretty good. That's a future article or a podcast, I can tell. But anyway, I mean, he sounds like he's in a good place. Obviously, this is something the Red Sox organization needs to keep monitoring, right? I mean, here's somebody that's going to be, if I'm just the way he's wired, you better have good people around him for his entire career, right? And if he starts to struggle, I don't know if he was referencing the fans getting on him or if he was referencing something else with, like, the stuff that he's gone through, you know.
I think it's just the whole ball of wax.
But even Jeff the caller brought it up, and I think he probably is the same as a lot of people. This guy did a total 180 in the minds of the fans from one year to the next. I mean, he was a mess, and then he was like the greatest the hope the team had to offer.
Well, you can hear me at the I'm dancing around it where I want to say, oh, good for you. You solved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been an alcoholic, but that's all I can think about this, which is, you know, for a guy like that who is dealing with his mental health issues, it's one of these things which it never goes away. It's just you're finding ways to deal with it better than you used to. And what he's talking about, all the things he talked about talking to people, about acceptance, about getting it out there, about journaling, which I thought was really interesting, all of that is helping dealing with it. But you have to have all these things in place, because as good as today is, and he got a baseballs and boring sticker at the end of the interview,
oh,
so
good.
What a day it is. But as good as today is, for someone like Jaron Duran, he understands that he's gone through this, tomorrow might be completely different.
Well, and obviously different circumstances, but I've heard Cora talk about how miserable last year was for him and reference some things where, you know, it's like a theme of the team, like a redemption year individually for a lot of them. Trevor Story back after, you know, getting a full season. Maybe Masataka Yoshida, who was first year. But they have a lot of guys who I feel like could take a big jump just mentally and then physically, obviously, on top of it. Maybe it's something they can rally
around. The acceptance
around
of it, too, and to morph into what we're going to be about to see here, we're at JetBlue Park, getting ready for the breakout game with the Red Sox prospects. One of the guys who's starting for the Red Sox is Blaze Jordan. Blaze Jordan was a number 3 overall pick, highly touted guy, power hitting infielder, really struggled, and in the last offseason has came out on social media, and I believe he might have started his own YouTube channel about mental health, about being open, and this is so, so important. And I would imagine, you know, this is why I think Jaron Duran doesn't have a problem talking about this, because he understands this is part of the healing process, more so than he did maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
or even last year, where nobody really noticed and he didn't really want to make a thing of it.
Well, the thing about not writing, oh, I wrote it on my thing, like, well, okay, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And
now it's on a T-shirt.
I mean,
it gets on a T-shirt.
And once it's on a T-shirt,
everything takes another. It goes up a level.
And that's science. I've come to learn that a long time
now. Last year, Cora had the underdog shirts, right?
Yes.
But will he don the FM shirt this year?
But, again, when that happened, when he had the FM shirt, then I thought – my first thought was, oh, really? Here we go. Because when you have, you know, other guys – you're like, oh, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Is that the media you're talking about? Is it the fans?
Yeah, you know how it is. But that's not what it is. So I'm like, okay, wear those all you want. Because if it's the other thing, I think, come on, don't do that.
Well, no, it's important to tell the story behind it, which you just did there.
Right, well, that's where.
And shortly will for WE.com.
And the Baseball is a Boring podcast and everybody else. All right. We got to take a break. That was Jarren Duran. I will post that on the Baseball is a Boring feed. So go check that out. Go subscribe so you know when that pops up in case you missed it, what we were talking about. But we got to take a quick break. We're going to have the last segment, and then we're going to get into the big, big broadcast. Seven inning game. We're all very excited, and I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm actually excited to see guys like Yolan Cespedes play, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, Blaze Jordan, Winkelmann Gonzalez. I'm excited to see these guys play.
8 of their top 10 and 15 of their top 20 prospects in the action today. That's pretty good.
You see Brian Abraham? Tell me he did a good job.
He'll be along.
All right, we got to take a break. Be back after this. Let's go! Baseball isn't boring. On the radio. You know us from such educational films as Paint Chips, Delicious But Deadly, and also the podcast. The podcast, which is, I figured this out, Ken Laird. Our podcast numbers since a year ago, 100% doubled.
Wow.
Doubled.
Now, your brand has never been hotter.
The brand has never been hotter.
Yep.
I did sit down with Tanner Houck today, and he said, and he was citing Baseball's and Boring episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. So the players are talking.
You've come a long way from just you and Joe Kelly on a park bench.
It's still kind of me and Joe Kelly on a park bench.
But no, you've expanded. And
this is one of the things we talked about with Tanner Houck. I know everyone's going to be fascinated by this, was his tattoos, because he's pretty aggressive with his tattoos.
How many?
As you are. No, he said he wanted to get his whole body tattooed.
Wow.
His next level is a leg. But he said, and this is a good point, he doesn't want tattoos where if he wears a suit that they know he was wearing has tattoos, like the neck or the hands or anything else like this. And I told him, I said, as God is my witness, Tanner Houck, if you commit to it, you can tattoo Baseball's and Boring on me.
Wow.
I said, do you have the equipment? He's like, I can get it from Amazon. That's not a good start.
What about HOF on Joe Castiglione?
Oh, if this, I think we're going to talk about this on the broadcast. And he said, will Joe Kelly be jealous? I'm like, actually, he probably will be, but he would want to tattoo me with a spoon and a dull fork. So it's some more great content. As we said, the world of baseball is buzzing about Baseball's and Boring. And they're buzzing about baseball because Ken, A week and a half.
Hard to believe. Seattle.
The Reds. I don't want to spoil it for the Ken and Curtis show for next week because that'll be the last show before the opener. So I would imagine that show is going to probably be half about the Red Sox preview.
As we always are. Yeah, we break it down.
And so, but I don't want to spoil this, but I'm going to spoil it. Ken Laird, former Farm Report editor.
Mm-hmm.
What is your prediction for the Boston Red Sox?
Ooh, the win total?
For the win total. And don't be corporate, Ken.
Can I actually take in spring training and have an expert opinion on this next week? I mean, that's why I'm here to do this kind of research. This is a preliminary.
Boots on the ground.
I mean, if I have to pick now, I haven't soaked in the Kool-Aid yet. I'm like at, 81, 82 wins. I'm pretty low.
It's so funny, though, like when whatever iteration of the morning show comes down here, immediately, I've sensed a different vibe. I could see.
Oh.
I remember, by the way, the guy who Jerry used to go back and watch and came back. Do you remember the name?
No.
Jeremy Hazelbaker.
Okay.
This kid Hazelbaker.
It's impossible not to come down here and get excited.
But
it really is.
The Greg Hill Show crew came down. They talked to the players. They were totally seduced.
Yep.
Totally seduced by what they were saying. But you are saying you have not, even though you've been on the lazy river, you've mingled among the common folk here.
Mm-hmm. We don't even know who the team is yet. You're breaking down the outfield changes. If Sidon Rafaela, who's hit a cleanup today, is your starting center fielder, and O'Neill's in right, and you got Duran over in left, that's a whole new vibe. You know, you got a rotation that hasn't quite been set yet. I guess Cutter Crawford's going to be the three. Do we know that? Pivetta, Bayo,
no,
Crawford.
Pivetta, Bayo. Houck's going to be in the rotation.
And
Crawford, and yeah. I guess Whitlock.
And do you think Montgomery, there's any chance they come in late with a short-term signing?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think what they should do, Ken, here's my red-hot take. I think what they should do is absolutely get one of these Lorenzen, Clevenger-type guys, because they have zero depth in the starting rotation.
That'd be like a Kluber approach, you know, going after
sure.
a veteran
short
term.
Sure, except he doesn't have to pitch opening day.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No,
last year's the problem.
No. And I should note, because people want to know, as we said, the breakout game is about to start. We're going to have it here. Will Fleming and myself on the call. It's going to be awesome. We're hoping to get Farm Director Brian Abraham, a cavalcade of stars, to talk about these prospects. But the lineup, as you mentioned in passing, the lineup is out. Lineup's out for the breakout game. And this lineup, if you ran this out there, this game on social media is going to be buzzing.
Yeah, lineup is out.
Thank you, Drelly.
Thank you, Evan. That was the pinnacle of your career right there. Okay, I'm going to give you the lineup, a little teaser. I'm going to have to read this again, but this will be good workshopping for me. The breakout lineup for the Boston Red Sox, and if this doesn't get you excited about the great game of baseball, I don't know what will. Roman Anthony leading off, already a surprise, right field. Marcelo Meyer, Captain Marcelo at shortstop. Kyle Teal hitting third. That tells you what they think of that kid. Just drafted last year, 14th overall. Sedan Rafaela, it's sort of like this. The Atlanta Braves have already put in a note to the commissioner's office. This game's under protest, so Don Rafaela shouldn't be classified as a prospect in this game. Nathan Hickey, catcher, but he's DHing today. And then a big name, Ken, Miguel Blaze.
Yeah, Miguel Blaze
playing left field. Nick York, who we've seen a lot of, he's playing second base. The aforementioned Blaze Jordan, he's at first base. Chase Midroth, he's at third base. And Winkelman Gonzalez, he's in right field. The Braves aren't even going to make it. This isn't a good group. Like this isn't the Orioles. This isn't – there's nobody on the Braves who's going to jump out. We're talking about the Red Sox today. But so you are not seduced yet, and you will not give me
– Are you?
No.
I'll give you the prediction next Saturday. Okay, we can talk about it. But you have not been seduced by the team.
Too many maybes.
Too many maybes. I would agree.
And usually I pride myself in having a pretty good vibe, although I did pick Christian Arroyo as the spring training MVP last year. But I pride myself. I think I've nailed some takes off of spring training performances, going back to Josh Beckett saying that this guy is going to have a really, really good year, and he did. Sometimes you can just see it. So, in other words, I think, and maybe I'm seduced by my sit-down with him, I think Tanner Houck's going to have a good year. I like Tyler O'Neill. I think he's going to have a good year. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, nothing. Give me one prediction.
Prediction is Kenley Jansen is traded at the deadline. That's a bold prediction.
Okay. All right.
That's a lock.
What
a
punt. Go out and do some research.
35 bombs for Casas. That's my prediction.
All right. The people want to talk to you, Ken.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good call,
Rob. Thank you for hanging here.
Thanks for having me.
Baseball's a Boring Show. Thank you, Joe Braverman. Thank you, Jaron Duran. Once again, go to the Baseball's and Boring podcast page, subscribe, rate, review, get that Jaron Duran interview along with a lot of others. But I appreciate everybody. We're going to keep the great game of baseball alive, continuing throughout the afternoon. Breakout game time. Me, Will Fleming. Thank you, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.